You're with SBS Radio. Find more great stories in your language at sbs.com.au.
Dobrý den, Šárko.
Dobrý den. How good is your Czech, Tanya?
No, hrozný. I can remember a little bit, trošku, but I can remember how to ask for a beer, important things like that, but it's not very good otherwise, I'm afraid.
That's all right. We will speak in English. You've published a book about your time in Czech Republic. It's now being sold. You came to Czech Republic in 1992. How was it?
It was 1994, actually, and it was just 4 years after Velvet Revolution. And it was a most remarkable time to be there historically, because it was a country in a time of change and flux. You could see many remnants of the old regime still in existence and in the way people lived, but you could feel the hope of especially the younger people who now had opportunities to travel and to speak other languages and to live in freedom. And it was just the most inspiring time for me.
You came in winter, and that's like most of us know, it is not the most pleasant time in Czech. How did you cope with the winter, with the darkness, with the greyness?
To start with, I did not cope very well at all. I was in a little country town called Sedlčany, an industrial town of about 8,000 people, and I was living on my own in a little panelak, in a little room, bed sit at the top of a panelak, and I was deeply depressed and I didn't know what I'd done. I thought I'd made a terrible mistake. But very luckily, I met some wonderful people and they led me to Prague. And also, eventually the winter moved on. And so then the nature, the Czech nature opened up, and then I was in heaven.
How long did you stay in Czech Republic?
About 2.5 years in total, and I've been back many, many times.
When you came first, for Australians at the time, this was like the East Bloc country. Were you afraid going there?
I was a little, because we knew of the Eastern Bloc countries as having been very cruelly controlled by Stalin and then Moscow generally, and that life had been very hard for people. And in the West, we saw movies about it, and we knew of the Berlin Wall, and so many people were killed trying to get across it. So yes, I was, but I was also intrigued, because it was now 4 years since communism had ended, so I thought it should be much safer now.
When you came, did you feel the danger, or it was completely fine?
No, I think it was fine. I felt different kind of dangers. I felt the danger of being a Westerner. Many people still did not trust the West or want to have somebody there. I didn't ever feel that my safety was at risk. So that was fine. The dangers really were ending up in a hospital and not being able to leave because of all the people.
Well, I think we can all relate to that. How was it for you to be there and not speak the language? Because obviously at that time, people didn't speak much of English.
No. And in Sedlčany, almost nobody spoke English, except for a few of the students and a few of the teachers. And even their English was quite limited. It was very, very difficult. And I think that's why I was also very depressed to start with, because I was so isolated. It made me realize that language is so important to your survival as a person, and to be able to embrace the culture that you're in and to live fully. And it gave me a great appreciation for how hard it is for refugees and immigrants coming to Australia who don't have English, because without the language, you are very much prejudiced, I think.
What on the other side were some pleasant surprises of Czech Republic?
There were so many. I think the architecture and the music, the history of the country and the nature were just all so entrancing for me. Krasna Praha. I remember the first day that I went to Staroměstské náměstí, and I walked around and I thought, I've landed in a fairy tale. This is like a movie set for a fairy tale of Cinderella. It's not real. It can't be real. It's too beautiful. And yet it was real and I loved it. The architecture is so beautiful. Then, of course, the music, Smetana, Dvořák, Suk, Janáček. I especially loved Marvlast and the Vltavar, and then the New World and stories that connected to the country and, of course, its beautiful nature.
We are quite proud of our food. What did you think of it?
Of your food? I thought that the breads and the cakes and the ice creams were amazing. But I have to say, Vepšoví knedlíky a zelí, I had so many times I thought, I can't eat any more pork and dumplings and cabbage. And a žízek, which everybody ate, is of course very delicious. But I had a lot of that. I do remember when I was there wishing that I could have more fresh fruit and vegetables, which back then the Czech didn't have much of.
You went back many times. Did you see the changes in the country?
Yes, particularly in Prague. There are now so many more tourists. There are so many signposts in English. English is everywhere now, and beautiful Prague is overrun with people with cameras and souvenir stalls, and I think that Prague has suffered because of so much traffic, so many people. But in the country, not a lot has changed. Although in Sedlčany, for example, I discovered that when I was there, almost nobody had a car. Now most families have two at least. And the panelaks, which I thought were so grey and depressing, have been painted everywhere into pastel colours and made very pretty. And I thought that was very innovative and clever and very Czech, you know, to take something that was forced upon them and to turn it into something beautiful.
You speak about something being very Czech. Were there some other things that you thought, oh yeah, that's typically Czech?
The sense of humour, the good soldier Švejk. Everywhere I went, there would be some joke. That's very typically Czech, isn't it? And hospodars everywhere and people walking in the nature, making the most of the nature. I think that's very typically Czech. I think that's very beautiful. And that still happens. I don't know if it happens as much, but it's still there, which is wonderful.
After your 2 or 2.5 years in Czech Republic, what happened? You went back to Australia.
I had to come back to Australia for many reasons. I was in a relationship. I fell in love with a Czech man. He was very special, but it was never going to work out. And I realized that I had to come back to my own home to have the career that I really wanted and to find the love and life that I really wanted. But I never stopped loving everything Czech. And so that's why I went back and I still go back as often as I can.
And what's happening in your life now? You're living in the Northern Territory, very far from Czech Republic.
Yes, very far. I have come the full circle and I've returned to my home in Alice Springs, which is right in the centre of Australia. I'm living here and I work as a lawyer still and as a writer because, of course, it was here I was able to finish my book, Alice to Prague, as in Alice Springs to Prague. And I'm now writing my second book.
Can we ask if it is also about Czech Republic or is it still a secret?
No, I wish it was. I really want to write a second book about the Czech Republic. But my publishers have asked me first to write a book about growing up here on a cattle station just north of Alice Springs in the outback in the 1960s and 70s because that was such a different time and it's not a time really that exists so much now. So I'm writing that, but book three, I'm hoping I will be able to go back to the Czech Republic and write some more about my time there and the people that I still know and how much I love it.
Well, we hope so as well. You're also touring Australia and presenting your book Alice to Prague to the community here. Where are your next stops?
Well, very excitingly, my next stops are in Sydney. I have three events in Sydney. And if there were Czech people there, I would be so happy if they came. The first is an event in King's Cross on the night of Tuesday, the 27th of August. And the details of that are on my Facebook page, which is at Tanya Heaslip Author. And then the next night, which is Wednesday, the 28th, I'm going to do an event at Berkelow Bookshop in Paddington. And then on the Thursday night, which is the 29th, I'm going to do a book event at Berkelow in Mona Vale, which is up the north coast. So that's three nights, and I'd be very excited if there were any Czech people there who were able to come and say hello.
You've had already some events like that. Have you met a lot of people from the Czech Republic?
Yes, I have. It's been incredibly special. I had an event at the Adelaide Czech Club and the Brisbane Czech Club. And then I had an event in Darwin. When I say Czech, I should say Czechoslovakian, because it's Czech and Slovak clubs. And in Darwin, Czechoslovakian group. They don't have a club, but they have a group, and they came to my event. And now I'm receiving lots and lots of messages through my website and Facebook page from Czech people who have found the book and read it and have written to talk to me about it, which is very special.
Says author Tanya Heaslip, who wrote a book about her journey from Alice Springs to Prague. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Děkuji moc krát, Žarko, a mějte se hezky.
Vy taky, nashledanou.
Nashledanou.
Hear more stories in your language by visiting sbs.com.au.